This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT, we start with Russell Wilson. That's what we started with, the 10 o'clock. So we'll go down with the king topic of the day, which is, of course, Russell Wilson and the Giants. And I don't want to go nuts, even though I kind of did earlier on. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. It's still in play for the Giants, even with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, to draft a quarterback. But it doesn't seem likely at this point. And without having the hope of a franchise quarterback at the end of this season or starting next season, then to me there is no point. I don't know what the hell the Giants are doing, because it doesn't feel like it's going to be Cam Ward or Shador Sanders or even Jackson Dart. And without either of those three, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, let me just clarify before I weigh in with some stuff. So it doesn't feel like they're going to get a quarterback here because Wilson is joining Jameis Winston and the depth chart is too deep. Like, why do you feel so strongly that they're not going to draft somebody high?
The moves that they are making right now would indicate to me that they are not making Cam Ward or Shador Sanders a priority.
Okay, I'm saying, would you feel the same way if it was just Jameis Winston and say it was
Vita?
Okay, so it's because of the presence of two guys who have started a ton of football games.
Yeah, if they brought in just Russell Wilson, then I'd be saying, good, now go get – and I'm still saying the same thing, good, yep, now go get a quarterback. But I just get the sense – it's also not just the Wilson and Jameis Winston moves. It's also based on the way that they've been acting here along the way. The actions speak louder than words. I, at this point, would be stunned if the Giants traded up for the number one pick. I, at this point, would be stunned if the Giants took a quarterback at number three, whether it's Sanders, Dart, whatever. I would be surprised if the Giants got one of the best three quarterbacks in the draft, and to me, that is not good.
Now, they might not get a quarterback as early as you think, though I think that they will. But I don't think that the presence of two, you know, certainly one more established than the other in terms of Russell Wilson being a champion and Winston obviously being a flame out in terms of a first overall pick to an extent. I think that what the Giants are trying to do is guard against just a very uneventful, uninspiring, lackadaisical first couple of months of the season. What if they would have just had Russell Wilson or just Jameis Winston and DeVito and they draft Sanders or Dart? And Russell Wilson gets hurt.
Yeah.
Now you've got to throw at a kid who's not ready, and the only other option is DeVito, which means the offense is not going to look very good. You see, I think that they can still satisfy both, and I think that that's their goal, and I think that they will absolutely walk away with a quarterback in the first round or two, despite the fact they've got two guys who have played a lot of
football.
And
that's why I said I can't go crazy with this. I don't like it, Certainly don't love it, but I don't even like it, what they've done here with Russell. Remember, Russell Wilson, too, a guy who the Seahawks moved on from. The Raiders could have had the coach that Pete Carroll, that Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl with, Pete Carroll, had a chance to bring Russell Wilson in and kind of lay the foundation for rebuilding the Raiders back up. He passed on him. Broncos, it was a disaster. Sean Payton moved on from Russell Wilson and got better. And then last year, the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, they needed the quarterback, and they don't want Russell Wilson. So that's a whole nother element to it. And yes, you're right. Your path is still technically there where you could have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and still get the quarterback. I need to see it. And I just don't believe that that's going to be the case at this
point. Yeah, no, listen, I get you. And it's going to be very interesting 3.5 weeks as we sort through this every day. There'll be smoke screens. There'll be days where we come on the air saying, wow, it really looks like the Giants might be leaning towards Sanders. Or, oof, it really seems like this smoke is going to have them swapping with Tennessee for number one. Or the opposite, where, man, it really looks like they're not connected to a quarterback. There's going to be a lot of different stories that come out the next couple of weeks, and ultimately we'll get the answer. I think at the bare minimum, though, at least you get a competent quarterback, competent in Russell, and the other guy, Jameis, who's going to bring an infectious personality into the building and kind of uplift the room a bit with his infectious personality. And if nothing else, I'm not sitting here saying the Giants are going to be good next year. I don't think that they will. At least they won't be unwatchably boring.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Anthony is calling from Old Bridge. What's up, Ant?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. Okay. So, listen, my opinion is strictly based more, with the fact I agree with BTI. Regardless of the fact that they got Wilson and Winston, I still think they're going to get Sanders. I think it just lines up for them to get him. And overall, they've gotten better. Again, I'm not saying they're going to be a Super Bowl team, but they've been very active in free agents, adding better players. Whether Wilson starts or Winston has to play, I think they still have Sanders, and ideally they set him up for next year where he could be the starter. They're going to win more games because they have veteran quarterbacks that are better than, DeVito. As much as the story was great, let's be honest, the guy couldn't get the job done, and the team's going to be better. I know you don't think so. It's going to be, and as far as what you don't know what they're doing, after last offseason where we knew what everything they were doing and it blew up in our faces, I think maybe not knowing what they're doing is maybe a better play.
Yeah, but your path is Shador Sanders. If that doesn't happen, Anthony, how then do you feel about this plan?
Well, again, if it doesn't happen, that means that they're going to go with the premise that they're going to go with the veteran quarterbacks and, like you said, maybe get another one. I don't love that personally, but
okay, well, that's all I'm looking for.
I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Okay, well, that's where we disagree, and thank you for the call. I don't believe it's going to happen, and I really hope I'm wrong about that. I hope you're right, Anthony, that they take Sanders if he's there at three. Then I'd be happy, because then my whole – I don't care who starts week one this year. That, to me, is irrelevant. I care who starts week 12 this year or – game week one next year.
Yeah.
That's what I really care about. And the only way for my path out, the way that I believe that they could have a path to success, would be to get that quarterback in-house now. I'm fine if he sits the majority of the year. Even if they're having success at the end of the year, I'm fine if he sits the entire year. Mm-hmm. As long as they get somebody in the building now, like Sanders, I would prefer Ward, or even Dart. I'll give them those three. To have them sit and watch Russell Wilson and Jameis if needed for 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, or for the entire season, they need to be starting, though, next year, week one.
I would extend the list a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to go nuts on a pro day because that's how Zach Wilson was sold to us, and many, many workout warriors have come to the NFL and flame out. But, somebody like Jalen Milroe, who was an elite athlete, maybe you take a flyer on him. I don't want to get too just throw a million names at you, but I do think that's a little bit beyond Sanders. And Dart, not too much, but a little bit. I also think there's really only one thing that's unacceptable, and I think that this is what you're guarding against, and this can't happen. See, the Giants will be better this year, maybe in a little teeny tiny increment, but they'll be more watchable, they'll score more points, and even though the schedule is tough and whatever, they'll win more games, I think, than last year.
I mean, it's hard to be worse. Honestly.
No, it is. Offensively true. But the schedule gets tougher, so you could score more points, but maybe not win a lot more games. But
still more watchable if they score more points.
No question. And I do think that they're going to probably script. Let's say if they run it with Wilson all year or a combination of Wilson and Jameis Winston, they'll win 7-ish games, 6, something like that, 6-7, something in the neighborhood. So, but what you can't have is you can't be better this year, but not nearly good enough to do anything of significance, and barely have a top 10 draft pick next year, and not really have direct access to have a quarterback that will eventually change the course of your franchise. To me, that would be an absolute waste of time, but that's why I'm really not visceral. I don't love what they're doing with their quarter with Russell Wilson. I don't, but I'm not going to viscerally react until I see that they don't walk away with a young quarterback.
But we are getting closer to that being a reality, at least in my opinion, closer to that being a reality that they're not going to get one of the top guys. And it's not about who's starting this year. It's about who's starting next year, week one. And without them getting that person in the building this year, it's not going to happen next year. You're not just going to go out. What do you think is going to happen in free agency next year? It's going to be the same thing. So it's not about free agency. It's about drafting and developing. There's no way anybody in that building can justify going into next season without the hope of the next young guy.
Oh, my God. So I'm totally with you, 100%.
And you're maybe outside of those three names, maybe there is Milrow, whoever you want. I'll even settle for that if I have to, but it better be somebody that can start next year.
Yeah, just because we might not be incredible. I don't mean Milrow. Everybody knows Alabama. But maybe there's another name that they draft in. Maybe they take a third-round pick and they move up and they have 2 second-round picks and they take somebody who is interesting to them. That would satisfy my demands for now. Somebody in the building who could make that transition. But I think that when you look at the other situation, and this is what you and I have talked about a lot here, it's just a very dangerous spot to be in where you're trying to win games or put out a much more competitive product to pacify the fans, to pacify ownership, to save jobs. It very rarely works out where things are going to everything's going to meet at the right point.
Angelo's calling from Howard Beach. What's up, Angelo?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I think now with although I can't like really love them getting Wilson and Winston, I do love the clarity it brings to pick three. I feel like you have to at this point now add one of the two blue chip, you know, players at the top of the draft in Carter or Hunter, and you can establish either on the offensive or defensive side of the ball one of the top pairings in the league, either between Neighbors and Hunter or adding Carter with Burns and Sexy Dexy. You can really have an elite unit on either side of the ball, and you'll have more than enough capital between Thibodeau. You have the second pick in the second round, first pick in the third round. You can move back into the first round, middle of the pack, maybe the Niners, maybe the Lions, and grab Dart. And I think you're pretty set at that point. I think that's really the direction they need to go in.
There's ways to do it.
Thank you for the call.
Good call. There's definitely ways to do it. The only issue with that right now is trusting a regime that has not shown the ability to be overly creative and overly innovative when it comes to the quarterback position on draft night. That's why the lack of confidence exists.
Okay, here's another thing. In talking to some people that are at least have a feel for maybe the thinking, I'm not getting the sense that they are going to use a top pick on the quarterback. Now, that's obviously, you could also do the math and put the pieces together and say, all right, that would be maybe common sense at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is the case, now you're, so that would mean I would assume take, obviously, Cam Ward-Sanders out and probably Jackson Dart as well. The idea, and we've heard multiple people call in with that dream, oh, trade down or take three and trade back up and get Dart. I don't think the Giants, if they don't take him at three, are going to get their hands on Jackson Dart. Somebody will trade up. Somebody will. He's going in the top 10. And how could the Giants get back into the top 10 if they use their number three pick?
Well, let's say they went, off the top of my head, I know the Saints are 9. Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to run back Derek Carr once more for whatever reason. But I would think that they're in the quarterback market.
Right.
So that's a team. Let's say the Giants and the Saints swung a deal. Giants go to 9, Saints scoot up to 3, and the Saints take Shedeur Sanders. And the only reason the Giants are willing to do that is because they don't want to take Sanders. So now you go from 3 to 9, Sanders is off the board. So let's say it's now Cam Ward, it is maybe Carter 2, and then Sanders 3. Now you've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 to worry about. Okay, is Jackson Dart still there? But even if he's not, and I think that he could be because the Patriots aren't going to take a first-round pick at quarterback. They've got theirs.
Right.
The Chargers are not. There are a couple teams that are in that position that won't do it. And even if they miscalculate a bit and don't get Jackson Dart at 9, I still think that there would be a superstar position player that would be there to at least satisfy the first part
but
of the
you're
draft,
saying,
non-quarterback.
But you're saying trade.
I think they could.
Trade down.
But you've got to be perfect how you read the room.
Fair enough, but I'm talking about callers who are saying select a stud, Hunter, Carter, whoever you want with number 3,
yep,
whoever's there,
yep,
and then trade back to get Dart. That cannot happen. That's my whole point. If the Giants, if they select at 3,
yeah,
and don't take Dart, I do not believe they are getting him. Yeah, they could trade down theoretically and potentially get him, not too far.
Yeah.
But you can't have both. You're not going to get the stud player at 3 and then Jackson Dart. That's not happening.
Unless you're willing to give up a lot of capital for next year, which would be deemed possibly reckless. But
I don't even know
that.
Yeah.
I don't say never. I mean, if you have a willing trade, it takes two to dance. I mean, if the Giants want a quarterback, which they clearly do at some point, and you find a team that just has a dearth of premium picks, and the Giants can satisfy that, you can have a deal.
And by the way, if they did, I'm good to go. Long as I don't care who it is.
Figure it out, Giants.
I want a Cam Ward.
Other
I take
teams
Sanders.
Do.
I take Dart. Figure
you
it out.
You know what I mean? Other teams do.
Other teams did. Not to go back to last year, but one more time. Other teams did. They did it last year where they go back and, you know, you saw Bo Nix go. You saw J.J. McCarthy go. You saw Michael Penix. Giants pass on all.
I know.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll take a break. We come back. Mark DeRosa will be joining us live here, Studio 42 at MLB Network on Baseball Eve. Right now, Mark DeRosa, who is co-host of MLB Network's MLB Central with Lauren Chahadi and Robert Flores, weekdays at 10. He joins us here. Mark and Robert will be out at the stadium tomorrow, so will we. You guys will be out there at Yankee Stadium hosting the show for opening day. Welcome back, Mark.
Yeah,
good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
We had a blast last time we were here. This is becoming a tradition for us. All right, so what are you looking forward to this season? Is there something that jumps at New York, Mets, Yanks? What's the number one thing you're looking forward to start this 2025 season?
Obviously, if we're staying in New York, I like what David Stearns and the Mets have done. I know they got hit by the injury bug in spring training with some of their starters getting a little nicked up, but obviously Soto's going to be exactly what we expect him to be. But I think the savvy kind of sign for me with the Mets was moving Clay Holmes over from a Yankees uniform to a Mets uniform. And when we were at the winter meetings and they were talking about we're signing him as a starter, I was like, I don't know how this is going to play. Well, in Port St. Lucie, he's come up with a few new pitches. He looks phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
So that could be a huge home run. On the flip side with the Yanks, listen, we know why they pivoted as quickly as they did from Soto to Max Fried. 8 years, 218, everyone was a little bit taken aback. I've known Max a long time living in the Atlanta area. He is typecast to pitch in Yankee pinstripes, and we know why they needed to get that done. Obviously, Gerrit Cole was damaged goods coming off the World Series run. He didn't opt out of that contract, and he ends up getting hurt. So they need Max to pitch to Gerrit Cole's kind of stature if they're going to stay in this.
Well, if he was damaged goods, what the hell are they letting him pitch in spring training for? Because that's what apparently it blew the ligament, though.
That whole thing was interesting, though, right? Like, if he's totally healthy, he opts out and goes out and sees what the market provides for him. It almost seemed like, you know, wink, wink, we're going to pick up the option and keep it moving.
Right.
So, yeah, the Yankees are interesting. The money they save with Soto, they go out. They bring in the Devin Williams for the back end of the bullpen. They're able to go out and get Cody Bellinger. I still think their lineup's got holes in it.
Yeah.
Certainly their rotation's been nicked with Cole, Schmidt, Heel, all those guys being down.
Yankees are better or worse than they were a year ago?
I was going to say they were better going in because I think they could potpourri it a little bit differently, but I would have to say with all the injuries right now, they go in limping a little bit worse than they were last year.
And do you think the Mets closed the gap enough with the Dodgers with the additions that they made in the offseason?
I don't think anybody closed the gap with the Dodgers. I really don't. If anybody woke up at 5:50 like me, cup of coffee, let the dogs out, watch them play in Japan, no Mookie Betts, no Freddie Freeman, no problem. Taking care of the Cubs. The arms they're running out there, it's a conveyor belt of just nastiness. Names you've never heard, names you have heard. I mean, game one, Yamamoto was unhittable, and then they just backed that up with a flurry of guys coming out of the bullpen with explosive stuff. I just think they're too deep.
Well, Mark, let me ask you this. I want to take it back to the locals here, and nobody's going to disagree on that Dodgers assertion. They're in a different league right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Soto's got pressure because of the contract, but he's a stud. Max Fried, first time here, got to make a good impression. We know Bellinger as well. There's some, you know, Pete with the contract now. There's
yeah,
some
Pete's interesting.
There's some pressure points, there's no doubt. To me, and he's not even making big money yet, but it is go time for Volpe, or he's just not the guy that Yankees fans and the Yankees thought he would be when he was drafted first. It's year three.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree a little bit because he showed up for me in the World Series. He really did. I know that one play where he threw the ball to third base, Jazz says, and it got away, and it ended up being a part of that just ridiculous fifth inning, I think it
was. Comedy of errors, circus. Yeah, we know what happened.
That was unbelievable.
You say ridiculous, I say glorious. But yeah.
You know why I love Volpe? Because you know exactly what you're getting. I don't think anybody in that Yankee organization was thinking he was going to be the next Jeter. I don't think that's ever coming down the pike again. But I think you're getting a consistent performer every day that plays elite defense, cares about his craft, is going to do everything he to win, is a 20-homer potential guy. Yeah, I'll take Anthony Volpe on my team any day of the week.
Yeah, but hold on. So would I. Yeah. And I like his makeup. I like his character. Plays every day. And he plays hard, okay? And I do think he's going to show some signs of improving even more this year. Now, they might not have thought they had the next Jeter. I'm with you on that. Yeah. He was signed to go to Vanderbilt. Clearly a star young player. Dude, you can't have a below 30% on base percentage. Like, yeah. He's got, when I say, I don't mean he's got to be an all-star, but you see these studs in the middle of the diamond blossoming in Baltimore and Kansas City. Can you hit 255?
Yeah, I think it's a different skill set. Yeah, yes, I do, and I think Anthony's only going to get better. I think everyone kind of fell into that. Listen, we do it with the youth level. Everyone falls into that trap where we want to teach every guy in the lineup to hit like the three-hole hitter or the two-hole hitter. That's not the case. Maybe he is a 280 guy with 18 and gets on base and steals some bags and plays elite D. I'd rather that than you hit me to 220 with a below 300 on base.
Me too.
And you pop a few extra homers for me. Leave that to Judge and Stanton.
Problem is, though, the Yankees thought that he was going to be a superstar. Brian Cashman said that to us, BT. We had him on.
He did say that.
Because I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, I thought this guy was. His peaks, his flashes have been superstar type. Obviously, he hasn't been able to withstand that. So they thought he was going to be a superstar. And then they go through the same thing, Mark, where they now have Dominguez. Look at the Yankees roster. I mean, for the New York Yankees and all the money they spend, the star power, all the injuries is leading to Wells, Volpe, Dominguez, the next guy. What are your expectations for Dominguez this year?
Well, obviously you worry about the way he handles left field.
I can't get your pop up.
That's number one. But he's got electric bat speed. Booney speaks highly of him. We throw the word superstar around way too loosely in today's game. Everybody who comes up quick to the big leagues, I mean, we are kind of taken aback by the Otanis and now, like, the young guys, the Bobby Witts that come up and change the game, the Gunnar Hendersons that are Ellie De La Cruz. I was out at spring training. I had the Arizona run. He was the one guy. I got on a plane from Phoenix to fly back to Atlanta. I was like, oh, my God, I'm picking him to win NL MVP. Watching him go about it. I don't think everybody has that skill set. And I think when I look at Volpe, like the consistency and the defense and the fight and the heart, and I think he's more of that player than this toolsed out guy that's going to carry my team.
Yeah, but Dominguez is supposed to be the toolsed out guy to South
Point. I expect him to hit.
You do.
I do.
Okay, very unconventional top of the lineup here for the Yankees with Austin Wells.
Yeah,
I think I think he's going to be really good. I like him. I think his bat is going to play. He's got a good presence and he's strong, and I think he's going to hit foul pole to foul pole sooner rather than later. Do you like his upside when you see a young Austin Wells? What do you see moving forward?
I like the upside. I do. I always look at catchers like you want to hear what their peers are saying about him. The guys love throwing to him. He's got a flair for the dramatic. He played well in the postseason. He liked the big moment, the big stage. I think that's only going to help him.
But
I don't love him in the leadoff spot. I would lean more Volpe in the leadoff spot. And I know maybe the profile and the numbers don't say that, but I would try and turn Volpe into that type of player. Obviously, Booney and the analytics department feel like, you know, let's get some of our best hitters to the plate, and let's get Austin Wells some heaters with Judge hitting behind him.
Who do you think's the Yankees' biggest competition in the American League?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm bullish on it this year. I think Boston's going to be good.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah, I love the Bregman signing. And everybody's concerned about what it means for Devers. I think it motivates Devers.
Bregman's going to play second, right, to start the year?
Bregman's
Is that what they're saying?
That's what I thought earlier.
I think he rolls out at third base, and I think Christian Campbell's going to be at second base, and I think we're going to see Devers in a DH spot eventually.
Well, that would make sense because Bregman's a great defensive third baseman.
And he rakes at Fenway, a healthy Trevor Story. I love the Garrett Crochet trade. I love bringing Walker Buehler over on a one-year deal. They're young. They got some prospects. The Roman Anthony kid, I saw laid eyes on him in the Futures game. I think Boston with Alex Cora leading a young group is going to be a very dangerous team.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't disagree. I think Boston's going to have a good season. Baltimore probably bounces back. Tigers have good pitching. Rangers will hit again this year. Astros retooled a bit. Most people seem to think, oh, yeah, Yankees will definitely be a playoff team. Are you signing that right now, or are you not sure that they're even a playoff team?
No, I'm going to put them as a playoff team.
Out of respect or truly out of belief?
I think a little bit more out of respect than belief. Ugh. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
I want to see how the lineup flows. I want to see them get healthy. I want to see how Max Fried does in a Yankee uniform, although I think he's going to do very well. I think Rodon takes the next step of comfortability, wearing the pinstripes. I think ultimately Booney and that team, the depth of his pieces, find a way to get into the postseason. But no, they definitely roll into the season not as the odds-on favorite to represent the American League in a World Series again.
BT, it's Al on the Fan Live at Studio 42 at MLB Network. Mark DeRosa here with us. He co-hosts MLB Network's MLB Central with Lauren Chahadi and Robert Flores weekdays at 10 a.m. They will be out at the stadium tomorrow, Yankee Stadium, of course, for opening day, as will BT and I. So we're looking forward to that on this now baseball eve. Switching gears to the Mets, we've had a couple of your peers here on, Cliff Floyd, Dempster, and they both mentioned the Phillies as being the team in the National League East. Along with the Mets, I'm surprised about the Braves. Where are you looking at those top three teams? How would you rank them in the NL East?
Yeah, I think Phillies have the most pressure on them of any team in the big leagues. They got to get it done, right? They're staring down some guys getting a little older. They got the Schwarbers, the Real Mutos, the Ranger Suarez are all headed to free agency at the end of this year. So they got to get it done. They got to close the deal. They've been in postseason way too many times, and they got to figure out how to get Harper and that team a World Series championship. The Braves, for me, are super interesting. Chris Sale was dominant last year. I think you can expect him to be dominant again this year, but at that level, so that means Spencer Strider's got to come back and be effective. The Spencer Schwellenbach kid, I'm really bullish on. I think he's a darn good pitcher in the National League. He'll take the next step up. And they got to overcome some injuries and some down years. I mean, the Austin Rileys and the Matt Olson's got to step up and play well. Ronald Acuna's got to come back healthy. Michael Harris has got to take the next step forward. They're dangerous lineup wise.
Yeah, they are.
So Phillies
catcher Murphy hits home runs.
Give me Phillies, Braves, Mets.
Listen, this is a cop out. This is a total cop out. I've lived in Atlanta 25 years, so I'm gonna pick the Braves to win that division.
Okay.
I'm going to pick them to win the division.
But why? You're out of New York. They're not hearing you right. Who cares what they think? Atlanta.
I think three teams out of the NL East get into the postseason.
Mets, Phillies, Braves.
I really do. I think all three get in. I think you got to win the Central to get in, and then I think you're going to have two come out of the West.
And then does the regular season matter in your mind anymore, or is it just about getting in? We saw the Mets knock off the Phillies last year. Obviously, it's happened repeatedly throughout the course of the last several years with the change in format.
I mean, as a player, you certainly want to win the division, but I don't care how we get in. Hot team's a dangerous team. I thought it was interesting this year because we were kind of concerned about that, right? All the layoffs for the divisional winners, and they're getting knocked out by wild card teams left and right. We had Rangers play the D-backs 2 years ago, and then last year it kind of... We kind of put that to bed with the Yankees and the Dodgers going to the World Series.
What do you think Vlad Guerrero is next year?
It's a very good question.
He turned down $500 million.
I think he's getting six.
He ain't getting
550.
$440.
He's not getting that. Come on.
If he hits 320, he might.
If I'm Toronto, he's who I build around.
He's more valuable to them.
Yeah, I think he gets a bad rap, the body. Uh-huh. I think he moves better than people give him credit for. I think he's athletic. I think guys like playing with him. I think his personality is infectious. If I'm picking between him and Bichette on who's staying, I'm keeping Vladdy.
Right, but if the Mets and Yankees, at the price that he wants, I know he's not saying he's going to be Soto, but when
Soto
you start talking,
skewed everything.
Okay, but he's Soto. That's a different animal. So Vlad's on another planet if he's turning down that much money. Because
you
So
you think 765 was clean?
Yo, I would have paid Soto 900. I don't care, man. I want that guy, period. The Mets had to do what they got to do, get him in. Vlad, I thought for sure if he hits the open market, Mets will get him probably somewhere between 4 and 5. But when he starts turning down 5, I do think he ends up with Toronto because I can't imagine. If that price is going to take the Yankees out, it's going to take the Mets out, and probably others. So then where's the bidding like we had with Soto?
I'll take Pete for what he's making.
Well, there you go. You think Pete's going to have a big bounce back year?
I think Pete's got an axe to grind. I think the game humbled him a little bit last year. I think the business side of it humbled him a little bit last year. I think he's motivated to prove a point.
I said I would put – they're not doing this. I would go Lindor, Vientos, Soto, Pete 4, maybe Nimmo 5, Alvarez when he's healthy and kind of build it out from there. Pete's in the 3 spot. I know the profile's changed over the years.
I like Pete in a 4 slot.
Yeah, me too. I don't like him in 3. I just don't like him there.
They're just trying to – I guess they're trying to get him as many at-bats as possible, get him to cover up Juan.
Yeah, but if Vientos is better in terms of average.
I agree with you. I like Pete in that power spot not thinking. Here's a 4 slot. You're paid to drive in runs, knock in runs, and hit homers. Go out and do that.
You get caught up in the righty-lefty stuff? Remember, DeRosa interviewed to be a manager.
Oh, I do. I do get caught up on if you can do it. I think, obviously, your lineup is who your GM and the players that he gives you. But, yes, a righty-lefty strewn throughout the lineup certainly puts the other manager on in a way bigger defensive position of where he goes in the bullpen.
And talking about lineup construction, Mark DeRosa with us, by the way, BT and Sound on the Fan, wouldn't, I don't love the way Booney's rolling out. I'm okay with Wells with the one spot because they don't really have another option right now, even though I hear young Volpe. But if I'm them, why not put Bellinger 2 and offer the same protection for him? Now, Soto doesn't need the protection really from anybody, but he still benefited from it, and so would Bellinger. So why not have Judge 3 behind Bellinger?
Yeah, honestly, that's probably a question for Judge of where he wants to hit. That strikes me as he probably feels most comfortable at 2. I know they've done a bunch of different things with him. They've tried leading him off. I mean, he's let Anthony Rizzo off at times when he was in that ballpark. So, obviously, that's the question they're having in Philly right now.
Yep.
There's a lot of talk about who we should lead off, Kyle Schwarber or Trey Turner.
Well, don't they have two lineups going? They're going to go righty-lefty. Trey Turner's going to be one and Schwarber's going to be the other, right? That's what I read the other day.
Yeah, it would make sense. When you think about it on paper, that Trey Turner, his skill set would scream leadoff, but he's not a guy who just steals bases at this crazy rate. So, yeah, the lineup construction for us has changed. When we were kids, the number 3 spot was the best hitter on your team.
Always.
It is not the case anymore. It's the 2 slot. And then the leadoff guy is you want to take some – if you have that prototypical leadoff guy, I still think that plays best. That number 2 hole hitter that we grew up with, the guy who can move runners and get the sack bunt, that guy's dead.
Well, like Willie Randolph kind of guy?
Yeah, that guy doesn't exist anymore. So now you move to 3 slot. You're just trying to pump up the top of the order. But I like the wild horse at the leadoff spot. I really do. I like that kind of game changer, like first pitch. A.J. Hinch was kind of one of the first ones to do that in Houston with George Springer. And it was like, if you threw that cookie 0-0, it was 1-0. And it changed everything. It was like it woke up the team. It smacked the opposition in the mouth. So I kind of like guys getting a little cutesy with the leadoff spot if you don't have that prototypical guy.
Well, if that's the case, he's got some lefty juice and he could run. Why not put Jazz first?
Which is what I don't understand. That would be somebody I'd entertain. I'm giving Austin Wells 50. A crack. I mean, is he an on-base percentage guy?
Yeah, Wells is better on-base than Jazz. That's why. I like Wells. So what's it? I mean, I just have to change my mindset because, like you said, growing up it was speed, leadoff, a guy second who could move them over. Okay, now the big boys
now
come
the big
up.
Boys come.
3 and 4 and 5. Have you thought about, we talked about it before you interviewed with the Mets years ago, have you thought about getting back in or you moved on from that?
My son's 15. He's a freshman in high school. It's important for me to be around him. I certainly would entertain phone calls on it. I'd be foolish not to. But
just as a manager?
Or it is not something I'm openly pining to do.
Would you take like a coach, a hitting coach role, or you just got to go right for the top?
Nah, I got to go right for the top. If you're going to pull me off the couch, you better bring it. Blank check.
And if nothing else, these calls are leverage for MLB Network. Hey, I'm getting managerial snips. You got to pay me more money.
And we were talking about it before, during the break, before you came on with us, Mark. Your schedule is insane.
Yeah.
It's like you're playing. playing or managing for that matter. Sunday night, you got to leave, come from Atlanta up
here.
You
know what a big thing is, and the reason this works out, is my wife's so used to it, right?
From your playing days.
From my playing days. It's all she's ever known. My kids are a little older. My daughter's 21. She's a junior at Auburn. She's killing it. My son's 15. He's used to it. I think he plays better when I'm actually not sitting there hawking him. He'll deny that. But I think that's the case. And I grew up here where the network is. So for me, I come up, I get to see my mom, my brother. So I it kills a lot of birds with one.
How could you leave us for Atlanta?
It's a Bergen Catholic boy.
You know what? I've tried to get my wife. I married a Southern girl. I've tried to get her to move back up here relentlessly.
Where would you go? Jersey, if you did?
Absolutely. Yeah,
you got to stay in Jersey. Absolutely. We're both in Jersey.
Yeah.
When I come back and I land here, at no, I'm like,
yep,
got it.
Yeah, I feel it. It's yeah. Yeah,
the energy's back.
You make a pit stop at the bottom, bang or what?
Yeah, right. All right, you can catch Mark tomorrow live at the stadium, Yankees opening day, hosting their show. It is MLB Network's MLB Central, Lawrence Ahadi and Robert Flores, weekdays at 10 a.m. Mark, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Enjoy the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks,
see you
buddy.
Tomorrow.
So yesterday we were talking about, you know, loaning money and the pools and all
that.
And you know how people listen to the show, and we'll go elsewhere, and then people be like, oh, I heard this.
Yeah, sure, okay. Of course. I mean, sometimes things get hijacked.
Or get texts or whatever.
Yeah, all the times. Yeah, all the time. Yep, it's the power of FAN. What happened?
I was informed that there was a point, and again, I don't know if this
just
is true or
not. Spit it out. What? Who? Somebody tried to dime me out that I was late with the payment?
Somebody made me aware.
I want to know about this.
Of that, I guess there was a Super Bowl pool once. Back when you were at CBS at the network.
At the network. Okay, I vaguely remember this. Go ahead.
And that the quote was, BT once stiffed somebody with the CBS.
Get the hell out of here. Once stiff somebody mean what? Now, stiff is different than like you were characterizing Moose. So
now, I don't
somebody's
know.
Somebody's saying that I just didn't pay at all? There's no way.
Well, that
who
was,
ran the pool?
I don't know if we start getting into
that. We're going to have to if you start coming on the air with that nonsense. Yeah, your partner's going to have a couple questions.
All right, do you recall at all? Because the person that I was told that ran the pool was not very trustworthy.
Okay.
The person that told me the info, trustworthy. So now I'm at a weird spot because I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like BT.
Yep.
And I don't trust the person who ran the pool many years ago.
Okay. So, is that person who ran the pool many years ago still there?
No.
So was it Gottlieb?
No,
I'm just thinking of people who used to be at the network.
No. I don't know if it might have been
maybe behind the scenes kind of deal.
Yes, it was 100% behind the scenes that it could have been a fan person.
Okay. Just by process of elimination here, I'm going to say that one of the trusted sources that you are relying on here would be Marash.
No.
Who was at Orgeo, who were both at the network.
It is nobody currently working with us at the fan. So I think you're thinking too hard about this. Let's think for a second. Okay, so I'll tell you who ran the pool.
Okay.
Hadassi. Do you remember?
Do I know who that is?
No, I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
He was a behind-the-scenes guy.
I don't really remember Hadassi.
All right, so Hadassi was a little bit of a schemer. I liked Hadassi years ago.
No disrespect, I don't remember him.
Yeah, okay. All right, but whatever. So this is now going back years.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm thinking it was a situation where maybe it took a little while for you to just finally pay or whatever, but I would not think you stiffed somebody.
I don't remember that. I'm certainly not a stiffer.
And somebody brought...
In the conventional sense? or in the gambling sense.
So I thought, I was like, all right, I got to bring this up now. You're putting me in an awkward spot.
Yeah, so somebody ran to you like a little parrot, a little chirping,
trying
to get on your good side, trying to come up with information.
Just giving us some info.
Probably erroneous.
A Super Bowl pool BT. Now, you're right.
I don't even remember doing a Super Bowl pool. I remember doing the March Madness pools. I truly don't remember doing the Super Bowl pool.
Could have been. I
refute this claim aggressively.
Okay. Could have been boxes or something like that.
It could have been now, whatever they want to make it. I refute.
Now, I can reach out to Hadassi and see if he recalls a potential incident.
You have a number?
No, of how much it was.
No, I'm saying you have his number?
Yeah, I have it.
Get his number. Reach your text him. See what he says. Not that I really care.
No.
about a pool that was how many years old at this point?
Now, there's probably going back years. Hidasi, the reason why I'm a little skeptical of this,
yeah.
Although, like I said, the person who informed me, I do trust.
And is that person still with us here? At the network or the station?
No, that is neither.
See, that I don't believe
you. Are they still alive, period?
Yeah, yeah. They are alive.
You're smiling.
I am not. No, I cannot reveal my sources.
I feel like
sources.
You're trying to cover up on the source, though.
Oh,
so they're no longer at the network or the fan.
I cannot reveal my sources.
Are they at the network or the fan?
They are at neither.
Are you just saying that?
No,
really or not.
100%.
And they used to be. And I would know this person.
No, I don't know if they used to be or not. I'm just saying that they told me that this happened at the network.
And they weren't even working at the network? And this is what you're taking on the air?
You have to say that
dude, this is a massive leap of faith.
No, you have to say that.
Wow.
You should know better that I wouldn't come to the air if I didn't trust the source who told me. Now, it doesn't mean that the source who told me got the accurate information. He could have been misled.
Could have been.
Maybe somebody, and I don't want to accuse Hidasi, if he ran the pool. I was told that he ran the pool,
mm-hmm.
which is why I was saying it, but maybe he went back to other people.
Okay, so I understand you have to trust the source. I get that.
But you don't recall this at all.
I don't. Did you check a secondary source, which is what most journalists do if they're going to public with something?
You're
going on the one source that makes your story a little bit better, so you can have some fun on the air.
Well, and I came right to the source.
But you came to the source on the air.
Correct. But I wanted
you could have easily come to the source off the air.
What fun is that? Who cares about that?
That would have been as much fun. I do not recall.
Okay.
I refute. Listen, and by the way, plausible deniability. I'm not even leaning toward that. I really don't recall. It does not fit my normal gambling or paying up of debts habits.
And to be fair, like I said, I just wanted to come to the direct source. Also, when we were talking about it yesterday, I was like, a couple of people have come to me and the more I thought about it, remember we were talking about people who were in gambling debt asking mm-hmm. to borrow money. There was a lot more than just one or two people. And the more I thought about it.
That came to you for money?
Yeah, after the. Meanwhile, I didn't. It's not like I had money. Especially that. I had nothing but multiple people now that I thought about it.
Yeah. And you didn't help them because you didn't have it at that point.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention any names, but, Sid Rosenberg. Sid was a guy that we used to work with.
So you were behind the scenes, and Sid, and I love Sid. I know you like Sid, too. So Sid, who was probably making quadruple what you were making. You doing middays at this point?
Who, him?
Sid.
And
he was at the fan.
Yes.
Sid had issues. We know. Yeah. He's talked about it. You were making peanuts. You were probably minimum wage, and Sid was coming to you for money?
BT and Sal on the fan. Wait, this is about you. How do we get on Sid? BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back with your calls. And Russell Wilson, 888-808-1019. Al Leiter scheduled to join us as well. Coming up at 1:20, live, Studio 42 at the MLB Network.